Hey everyone, it's Darren here from Chapel at St. Mark's City Church. We had such a great time at Chapel Conference this year. We had guests come in, we had people come from all over the country, and we just wanted to release the talks for you. We hope that you're as challenged and as blessed as we are, whether it's your first time listening to them, whether you were there and you just want to recap. Grab a notepad, grab a pen, and dive into all that the Lord was saying to us over those couple of days.
Come on, let's bless the Lord Jesus all together right now. We love you, Jesus. Come on, I think you guys can do a little bit better than that. Let's lift the name of Jesus high from this place. We love you. We bless you. Oh, it is so good to be in your house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Jesus, I thank you that you are building your church right here in the city center of Dublin. There is no place I'd rather be tonight than right here in your atmosphere, your presence before your throne. And I am grateful. I don't know about you, church, but I am grateful for everything that you have stored up in your heart tonight, Jesus, to do in this place tonight. I want to say that we submit to your will. We align with all of your purposes for this entire conference event. And we say yes and amen to what you're doing in our lives. If you agree with that, just say yes and amen. One more time so all of heaven hears it. Yes and amen. Find three people around you real quick. Give them a hug or a high five and say yes and amen. Yes and amen. His promises are yes and amen. Yes and amen. It is good to be here with you tonight. Did I lose y'all? Listen, I'm from the South. In America, Nashville, Tennessee. And one of the things that we enjoy when we're in church is when we're preaching, we just want you to talk back to us. So you don't have to do that if that's not your custom, but I'm going to attempt to make you try. Is that okay? All right. Oh, there you go. You already got it. I feel right at home. Well, how are you guys doing? Are you on fire for Jesus? You pumped up about what God is doing in your nation? Come on, I'm pumped about what God is doing in your nation. This place is amazing. I didn't know anything about Ireland until today except for Conor McGregor. I think that's about it. But, I of course, I always enjoy watching him, UFC, because all the antics. So I just thought that everybody I would meet in Ireland would be somewhat similar to Conor McGregor. So far, I haven't met anybody like him, which is probably a good thing. But I have met a lot of people like him, Jesus, since I've been here. And a few of those people are your leaders. And I just want you guys to give an absolute bananas praise unto God for the McClatchys. Am I saying your last name right? Come on, I think you ought to stand to your feet and bless this beautiful couple that God has called to serve this city. Come on. There you go. I got the opportunity to hear some of the God story behind the move to right here. Where are we at again? Dublin. I feel like I've heard so many cities today. I'm like, where am I exactly? Where were we at earlier? Rush? We're in a village called Rush. It's a very cool place. But Pastor Darren was telling me a little bit about the God story of how this came about. And man, I am just blown away by God's faithfulness and your obedience. Did I say your last name's right? McClatchy. Okay. One of the things I said I wouldn't do, because Darren said that this is what every American does, is they come over and they say that they're Irish. And so I'm not going to do that, but it might be true. I might be Irish. I don't know. But I've also met a number of wonderful, wonderful leaders and pastors since I've been here. I haven't had the chance to meet the whole leadership team, but Pastor David, man, how many of you guys are from his ministry? You're here. Come on, can we just bless him as well? Bless this man of God. Bro, it's great to meet you. Great to meet you. I love what you're doing. I love what you're building. I love the worship team. Come on, man. I did not expect that praise in Ireland. I was not ready. I'll be honest with you. And that was awesome, wasn't it? What, the worship team, they crushed it. Come on. Can we thank them as well for leading us into the presence of Jesus? Wow. Come on, this is amazing. Pastor Liam, all the way from London. Bro, I'm so happy to meet you, bro. I'm so excited about what Jesus is building. I don't know exactly. You said you're kind of outside of London, but we're going to say London. Is that fine? It's London, it is. And I'm so excited about what Jesus is building there. And Pastor Ryan as well. Where are you at again, Pastor Ryan? Up north in Belfast. Y'all have to forgive me. I don't understand what y'all say. A lot, and that's my bad, but I'm from Kentucky, and if you don't know where that is, we are not known for our high level of education. But I am grateful, you know, that God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called, praise God. And, you know, I barely made it through high school, so I have a little trouble here in Belfast and the accents and everything. But, man, Pastor Ryan, great to meet you, bro. It's such a pleasure, such an honor. And is there any more pastors or leaders in the room? I haven't met you. I don't know you yet. But if you're here, would you mind to stand to your feet? Yep. Oh, I met Pastor Charlotte. Where is she at? Ah, what's up, Pastor Charlotte? Can we bless her as well, this woman of God? You're amazing. Is that normal for like a woman pastor to lead a church in Ireland? It's not normal. Well, that doesn't surprise me at all because you got that pioneering, trailblazing spirit on your life. And it's so evident. Would you guys agree with that? So evident. Thank you for your yes to Jesus. You know, a long time ago, Jesus gave me a vision. I want to share it with you because I feel it prophetically that God speaks it over your life as well. God gave me this vision, and in the vision, I was climbing a staircase, and I thought I was all by myself because the climb was hard. And I said, man, God, how much longer do I got to continue to climb? And I saw before me a door, and I knew that God had so much more available for me. I just needed to get to that place. And then in the vision, God spoke to me and said, turn around. And when I turned around, as far as I could see was a sea of people in my generation. And the Lord said, as far as you're willing to go, I'm gonna let them follow. And I share that with you tonight, Pastor Charlotte, because I believe there's a trailblazer anointing on your life. And I just want to encourage you, keep going, keep climbing, keep pressing in, because as far as you're willing to go, as abandoned as you're willing to be, I believe that God has dispatched a generation to follow your leadership up and into his presence and to just enjoy the treasure trove of all of the glorious riches he has for his church in Ireland. So I don't know. I hope that lands. I felt that. Bear witness at all? Okay, amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, I know you don't know me, and I don't know you, and so I thought it would be a great opportunity this evening for us just to get to know each other a little bit. Are you okay with that? I am going to get into the Word, so if you have your Bible, you can open it up to Matthew chapter 4. I want to kick off tonight in Matthew chapter 4. I'll be just a moment in getting to it, but if you want to open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 4, you can put your thumb in it, and I'll get to it in just a little bit. This experience for me, to be honest with you guys, is absolutely amazing because I should not be here with you tonight. I never imagined that I would have the opportunity to come to Ireland and share the gospel with you amazing people in this beautiful church. I never imagined I would have this opportunity. Like I said, I grew up in a state called Kentucky, but I'm from a village kind of like Rush. I don't know how many people live in Rush. 400. Four people. Dogs and everything. Dogs, cats. I grew up in a village called Sacramento in West Kentucky. It's 90% farmland, so everybody who lives there is involved in one way or the other in the agricultural industry. I think the population when I was in high school was 600 people. All right, so I am from a very, very small town. I never thought I would have the opportunity to be here in Ireland. My parents pastored in that small town. Most of our church were either farmers or coal miners or worked in some way in a blue-collar position. And one week, my parents decided to announce a revival. Has anybody in here ever experienced what you would consider to be a revival before? Nobody. All right, awesome. It's going great so far. How about a personal revival? Yeah, come on, let's go. A personal revival. Well, I grew up in a very small, like I said, farming community church that was extremely hungry and passionate about a move of God that they called revival. Now, as a kid, I didn't want revival. I'll be honest with you, because if we got revival, that meant that I was going to have to go to church every single night of the week without fail. And I didn't want revival because I said, no, I don't want that. I don't want to sit in church and listen to more praise music. I don't want to sit in church and listen to my own father preach another message that I've already heard 1,000 times. No, thank you, God, if you can hear me, please do not send revival. You know, it sounds like a crazy prayer, but one week my dad got this wild idea that he was going to invite this evangelist from the state of Texas, and all I knew about the guy was that my parents said that he was prophetic. You ever met anybody who's prophetic before? You ever met somebody so prophetic that you don't want to make eye contact with them? You know what I'm talking about. Like, you see him in the hallway in the church and you're like, avert your gaze because I don't want you to read my mail. You might see some hidden sin that's happening in my heart, and I can't have the Holy Spirit speak to you about that because I don't want to be exposed. I feel like I just may have like hit a little vein there. A few years. Yeah. Yeah. Some of y'all's grandmas are like that. And I appreciate a prophetic grandma. Anybody else in the room? Let me tell you, women of God, if you have a prayer list, please put me and my family on it. Because I know if you actually put me and my wife Allison and our children on your prayer list, you will actually pray. What's wild is that when men say, praying for you, I'm like, no, you ain't. Is it the same way over here in Ireland? Because like if a man says, I'm gonna pray for you, they'll hit you like real quick with a 10-second prayer in the parking lot on the way out of church. Hey, bro, I'm praying for you in Jesus' name, bro, amen. And I'm like, amen, I receive it, hallelujah. But listen, if you ever get a prophetic grandmother praying for you, you ain't never getting off their prayer list. And they're not just gonna get you at church, because I got a prophetic grandmother and she would come get me by the ear if I wasn't worshiping in that little church in the middle of a cornfield, and she'd say, get up here, son, it's time to pray through. Yeah, and if you don't know what praying through is, it's just praying tongues long enough until you break down, start crying, and the Holy Spirit says something to you. You won't get up here and pray through. You get on a woman of God's prayer list, I'm telling you, you will get a voicemail at 4 a.m. Shout, da, 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 da. Oh, yeah. Yeah, is that how it is over here? I was praying for you. The Holy Ghost done woke me up. You somewhere you ain't supposed to be. You know what I'm talking about. The Lord says he's got a call on your life. So for all you women of God in here that pray, put me on your prayer list because I know. And I was actively, you know, I was the one praying against all the praying grandmothers. Send revival, send revival, send revival. And then this guy shows up and he's prophetic and he's reading everybody's mail. And I remember he jumped off of the pulpit area and he began to walk through the aisles. And he was delivering what 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 talk about as the gifts of the Spirit. And he was doing words of knowledge. You ever heard of that before? And he was reading people's mail. And I'm not just talking about like, hey, you have a call of God on your life. I'm talking about, hey, you have a driver's license in your left pocket and the number is DLKY04567. And they're like, it is. You ever seen that before? Dude, that's crazy. So he's coming through. He's like, you live at this. This is your address. This is the last four of your social. I mean, it's like, wow. Now, at the time, I was probably like 11 or 12 years old, and I was like, I want nothing to do with this God because I want to be a professional basketball player and play in the NBA. Now, you guys can probably tell I have the size for that. Yeah, yeah, indulge me for a little bit. Yeah, that's right, you do, of course, you're so big. I've always been a small guy, but I wanted to play professional basketball. And so when I watched this guy going through the aisles and moving in the power of the Spirit, I heard the Lord speak to me and he said, you see this? This is what you are called to do. You are called to proclaim the gospel with power and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to send you around the world to the nations of the earth to preach this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you would think that my testimony would continue by saying, I threw my hands up in the air and I was like, yes, God, here I am, send me. But you know what I said? No. Absolutely not, God. I'm going to be a professional basketball player and I'm not going to be a preacher because preachers are poor. Hey, this is a real conversation that I had with the Lord. My bad. I forgot to give y'all a disclaimer. This is going to be a rated R sermon for real. Because I want to talk to some real people that have some real problems, who know a real God, who can provide some real solutions. And I think you found him tonight. He gave you his address and here he is. And I said, Lord, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. I say, no, God. And I can tell you there was a little switch. I call it a surrender switch. Everybody say surrender switch. I turned it off. I said, there ain't no way I'm saying yes to you, Lord. There ain't no way. I'm done. I'm not listening. And I turned that surrender switch off. Moved it down into the off position. And for the next 3 or 4 years, I did everything that I could to ignore everything that God spoke to me. When I was about 16 years old, give or take, 15, 16 years old, don't remember the exact time, but I started experimenting with drugs, which then turned into a drug addiction. It started with weed and pills, but it eventually evolved into cocaine and heroin. And by the time I was 18 years old, I was a full-blown drug addict. I was shooting up heroin in one arm and methamphetamine in the other arm simultaneously. I overdosed 3 times. I was suicidal to the point of putting a gun in my mouth and, you know, contemplating pulling the trigger and killing myself. I've been arrested more times than I can count as a result of drugs and alcohol and possession, and a majority of the larger charges were the result of aggressive, violent acts as I started running with a street gang. And when I was 18, I buried my best friend because he was shot point blank range in the chest and died in the street during a drug altercation. So that is my story. So when I tell you that God spoke to me when I was like 12 or 13 and declared over my life that I would proclaim this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations, I'm telling you, I never anticipated that I would be here tonight with the privilege of sharing with you the word of God. I never would have thought. So you might be thinking tonight, there's no way that you're obviously making up this story because you look great. Your beard is wonderful. And I knew you were thinking that. And that's really kind. Honestly, it really is. It's kind. But I'm telling you, when I was 18 years old, I was completely estranged from my parents. When I graduated high school, I didn't even live at home with my parents. I lived in a crack house. I was homeless for a season. I lived out of a car for a season. In the crack house, I didn't have no hot water. I didn't have no electricity for a while. I was selling cocaine out of my cabinet, growing weed in my closet, doing everything that I could to try to find purpose. And when I was 21 years old, after burying a number of my friends and my best buddy as a child getting arrested on his way to my house the weekend before, after counting out $110,000 on my kitchen table in order for us to buy drugs and continue to do what we were doing with our lives, I sat all by myself feeling like I had been abandoned by everybody. And all of a sudden, I saw somebody walk past my window. Now, the SWAT team had just kicked down the door at my best buddy's house down the street. And so I thought for sure, you know what? This must be the SWAT team, the police. They're coming to kick my door down and arrest me. And so I got up and I looked out the window and nobody was there. And then I went to the door and looked out the peephole and nobody was there. And so I stepped back because I knew something was going on, and I got what I like to call the glory goosebumps. You know what I'm talking about. When it's evident that God was in the room, that was the exact same feeling that I had when I was 12 or 13 years old watching that evangelist walk up and down the aisles and prophesy in Jesus' name. And I didn't see Jesus like I'm seeing you tonight, but Jesus stepped in to that drug-infested apartment, into my lost, broken, dying, oppressed, depressed, and possessed heart. And he said, in 6 months, you'll be dead or in prison unless you come home to me right now. I knew for sure that Jesus was speaking to me. I hit my knees. I lifted my hands. I began to tears stream down my face. And I remembered what my prophetic grandmother used to tell me to do when she told me to pray through. You need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent of your sins. You need to turn from your wicked ways. And you need to look to Jesus. And you need to take that surrender switch and throw it on. Now, I know that's a wild story, but that's how I got saved. And that was almost 19 years ago, coming up in July. And I want you guys to know, I ain't never done nothing since except this. That's it. That's it. That's all I've been doing since. That's all I've been doing since. So I share that with you because I want you to know my testimony. You know, since I've been here, I've been talking to a couple leaders and pastors and asking, like, what is Jesus doing amongst the young adults in Ireland? And I'm hearing a lot of great reports. And then also I'm hearing about some of the things that the enemy's trying to bring against this generation today here in Ireland. And I'm like, Lord, I believe that you sent me here for a reason. And so I couldn't come here without telling you my testimony, because I've heard the stories now of young people with drug addiction, with mental illnesses or mental health issues. And I just believe that the reason why the Holy Spirit sent me here is so that I could just be a part of what Jesus is doing this weekend in setting some people free from those mental health issues, from depression, from anxiety, from sickness, from drug addiction, from porn addiction, from sexual addiction. I'm talking deep, dark, hidden sexual addiction that you're unwilling to even admit to your youth or young adult pastor, but you're steady searching for on the internet late at night after everybody else in the house has gone to bed, and you think that nobody sees you, and yet you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And right now, I know there's somebody in the room. You're asking, is that me? Yes. The Holy Spirit is here for you, all right? He's not ashamed of you. Jesus gave his life on the cross for this very moment so that you could be saved, delivered, and healed in the same way that I was. Whenever people hear my story, they're like, bro, how did you like walk it out? Like, how did you get free of drugs? I said, do you do 12 step? I did one step. Honestly, and I don't have anything against 12 step. I did AA, NA, SA. I did the whole thing. Porn addiction, all of it. Delivered. Delivered, free. No cravings, no withdrawals. And when my parents would see me for years, which I don't remember because I was so addicted, they said, like, I would have tremors like this, like just trying to come home to see them for dinner, like, you know, once every couple years. Supernaturally delivered. So you might not be in that state here tonight, but whatever state you are in, I'm testifying to you. I know the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I know it creates an atmosphere where we prophesy and we say he's going to do it again, and we testify and we say he did it before, he'll do it again. He's not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another. And my dream, and I do think I'm sort of accessing a bit of the Holy Spirit's dream for this conference, is that no one would leave this chapel the same, but everybody would leave this place transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, you are here for a reason tonight. You are here for a purpose this weekend, and it's not to be a casual observer. If you think, oh, I got here because my friend brought me, this ain't really for me, I'm just doing them a favor. No, God brought you here. God brought you here. You are where you are tonight for a real divine purpose. I believe that heaven has circled this date on your calendar as a date with destiny, and you will not leave this room the same. If you'll agree with that, just say yes and amen. Yes. Amen. So I had to tell a little bit of my story. Because I want you to know, like, who's talking to you tonight. And I still love doing this. After 19 years, I still love doing this. I ain't never got bored with it. You know, people are like, you used to be a drug addict. Was that fun? I say, yep. People are like, oh, religious people especially, I can't believe you would say it was fun. No, I mean, sin is fun. But it's also costly. And it always costs a lot more than it is fun. You know what's more fun? Living in purpose. Being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Watching supernatural miracles happen in and around you. That's more fun. You don't miss getting high? And you know what I tell them? Ain't no high like the Most High. Yeah. I've had more experiences in church than I ever did in the club. Oh, y'all got quiet on me. Listen, I know there's bound to be a few people in here, and you used to go to the club. You remember you used to pregame? Yeah. You get ready, you know, you have a few drinks beforehand. Some of us need to pregame for church. We need to pray beforehand. We need to get filled up beforehand. We need to have so much expectation when we step into the house of the Lord. Man, it's going to go off tonight. How do you know? Man, I've been pregaming. I'm filled with faith. I ain't even got to wait for the first song to move me. If the room ain't moving, I'm going to move the room. I'm going to let everybody, I'm on fire. Don't get too close because it might jump off on you. Y'all didn't come here tonight for this energy, I can tell. You okay though? I'm weird. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. But listen, I did not fly halfway around the world with an expectation that we would have a polite service. I just refuse it. I reject it. Could we do that together? Like, just, I'm going to Matthew 4, but I just want to prophesy and pray in Jesus' name. I reject normality. I say no to business as usual. I refuse consumeristic Christianity. I don't want any more casual conferences. Lord, we declare in Jesus' name tonight that you are in this room. You are a transformer. You transform, God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would transform our lives. No matter how transformed we feel that we already are, that you would transform us tonight from a DNA level on up. I don't want to leave this place the same. How about you? I mean, sometimes I just pray, don't leave me like this, Lord. And other people say, you're fine. I don't want to be fine. I want to be possessed. And I know sometimes we just think of that in terms of like demonic, but listen, you know, the devil is not a creator. He's an imitator. Yeah, you can be fully possessed. I'm talking every square inch of who you are, from the top of your feet to the top of the head to the soles of your feet, fully possessed with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, when you're possessed, you're fearless. All right, we ready now. All right, Matthew. So y'all done caught my vibe. Okay, we ready now. We ready now. You're like, who is this weird country kid? Yep. We're on the same page now. Look at your neighbor and say, we're family. Yeah, we're family. We're family. We're family. We're family. All right, Matthew chapter 4. Let's get into it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. I'm going to start in verse 17, and I'm going to read all the way to verse 22. I don't know how much time we have. I think it's 9 o'clock. Hey, I got on a plane at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time yesterday in Nashville. I've slept for 3.5 hours. So I might qualify as the most tired person in the room, but I don't want to rule out the moms. All right, so I want to be respectful. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says this. I think my assistant sent you guys some notes. I'm going to do a different message. 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From that time. I love the context of what we see happening in the Bible here, because we get to see on the historical timeline of the ministry of Jesus when Jesus begins to preach. Now, Jesus begins to preach, and we know a lot of amazing things happen after that time, but it does beg the question, what took place before that time? I love to reflect on the baptism of Jesus, because we know that whenever John the Baptist, his cousin, brought him up out of the water, that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the Bible says, and it remained. I don't know about you, but I don't want the Holy Spirit to descend upon me just once. I don't want a visitation, just a touch at a conference on a Friday night. I'm expecting a habitation from the Holy Spirit, that the dove would descend upon me and remain for the rest of my life. Amen? And then we see at the baptism, the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Isn't that amazing? Don't you want to hear that from your Heavenly Father? You know what's incredible about that? Jesus had not done anything yet. We often think that we have to impress God in order to hear those words. But Jesus had not done any great exploits for the kingdom of his Father at that time. He had not healed the sick. He had not cleansed the leper. He had not saved the lost. He had not raised the dead. He had not preached any messages. And yet he found the delight of his Father that opened the heavens on his behalf and said, "I want you. You are my child. I love you." You may think tonight that you're not deserving of that, but can I refer you to the words of the Father over his Son, Christ Jesus, and tell you that the Father wants to release his affirmation over you tonight? Now, after he heard those words, where did he go? The wilderness, right? He was there for 40 days, and he was fasting, and he was tempted by the devil. We all know this story. And I've been asked for years by various young people, how do you get more anointed? How do you prepare to preach? I don't know who's in here tonight that feels called to preach, but I know there's some people in here. And I've always told them, hey, you pray and you fast, because I've reflected on this journey that Jesus took through the wilderness. You got to pray and you got to fast if you want to be prepared for ministry and you want to preach with the power of God on your life. But I've since amended my answer to that question. How do you prepare for ministry? How do you prepare to preach? How do you get more anointed? I always said you pray and fast, but you know what else you have to do, church? You have to pray, you have to fast, and you have to resist temptation. I believe that you will be as anointed as you are willing to say no to temptation. If you want to be anointed in here, yeah, prayer and fasting, that's part of it. But it's also saying no every single time the enemy knocks on your door. Absolutely not. I'm protecting the authority that's resting upon my life. Absolutely not. I'm protecting the oil that is resting upon my ministry. Absolutely not. I'm protecting the spirit of breakthrough that I'm walking in for my family and for my generation. I'm protecting what's resting on me for my university, for my high school. Are you with me? So I just want you to catch that, because what you see in verse 17 is that Jesus exits the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, which is where we get the word anointing, and then he begins to preach, not teach, but preach. When you see Jesus teaching in the Gospels, he often sits down and it's a long-winded message. But whenever Jesus preaches, man, he's moving fast and he's proclaiming. Repent! Now, I know you might be thinking that Jesus should have put together a polite sermon for his opening address to the world, but no, the very first thing that the Son of God does for the world is he gives them a commandment to change. I think you're probably aware of this. Like, the enemy would like to change the message of the church in this hour to, don't worry, you don't have to repent, you don't have to change. Just come to church and listen to our good TED Talk. And then get some good tools and then leave out the same, but just be able to be a little bit more effective in your career. That's not the gospel. Jesus kicked off, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's he saying? Change your mind or else you're gonna miss the closest thing to you. The kingdom is this close to you. Some of us believe we're so far away from it. If I could ever just get back in love with Jesus like I was in my youth group days. No, Jesus said, kingdom's this far from you. It's right here. It's right here. All it takes is a change right here. And repentance is not a magic trick. It's not like abracadabra. I repented, therefore I'm free. No, it's actually a resolute stake in the ground to say, I'm going to change the way that I think, therefore I'm going to change my actions. And I'm going to walk out the commitment that I made to God in the light and not forget about it in the darkness. Because I want to see the kingdom. Because I'm hungry to see what Jesus bought for me on the cross in his own blood. All right, that's one verse. Are we ready for the next one? Verse 18, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Now, this is interesting to me. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is walking the seashore of Galilee, and he probably sees a couple of brothers that he has seen before because he's from this region. And so he's doing his thing. And we see here that Simon, who is later called, he's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So this was their career. This was their father's career. This is now what they're doing. And so they're just in the midst of their mundane. They are living an everyday average life. All right? Read yourself into the story for a moment. Like, maybe that's how you feel tonight. Like, I'm in the midst of my mundane, Pastor Lyle. Like, I came to the conference with my friends. I'm just doing the same job that my dad did, or I'm just doing what I think is best for me. I don't necessarily, you know, think there's anything spectacular that's been reserved for my life by the Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus walks the shoreline of your life. Jesus walks the altar of this church tonight, and he says, follow me. Now, you have to understand that your discipleship begins with desire, but not your desire for God, God's desire for you. A lot of people think that we have to I've got to stir up this desire for God, and if I work really hard, I'll get hungry for him. You think you're hungry for God, but the truth is God is hungry for you. The desire of God for you is so all-consuming and overwhelming that he sent his son to walk the shoreline of your life and point you out in the midst of your mundane, in the midst of your average, in the midst of your settling, in the midst of your rejection. Because remember, the disciples that he called were those who didn't graduate from the, you know, priestly school, and say, I want you. Do you know this, church? God wants you. This is not just about you wanting God. As much as you may feel you want God tonight, can I tell you, Jesus wants you more. He's hungry for you. Like, he's searching every shoreline. He's saying, I want every single soul because I have a calling for them. And I know that feels like a generic prophetic word, but he's calling us into something, and it's not just our dreams. That's the TED Talk, not the gospel. I realize we all think we have a dream, but the truth is you don't have a dream. God had a dream and wrapped your flesh around it. Yeah. Our job is not to idealize our greatest potential. Our job is to listen to the voice of God and allow him to address what he put in us when he formed us in our mother's womb, and then go about being immediately obedient so that we can bear witness to everything that he has prepared for us to live out, the abundant life of Christ. And that's what he's inviting them into here. He says, they're fishermen. In verse 19, it says, and he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Everybody say, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Now, we all know what the great commandment is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We all know what the Great Commission is. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. All right, you guys know that, right? Don't you love that it's a co-mission? That you're not going by yourself, it's a co-mission? Jesus says, anytime you'll step out in obedience to my command, I guarantee you my presence. I don't guarantee you your safety, but I guarantee you my presence. Man, we're really sticking it to that TED Talk thing, aren't we, tonight? I didn't really mean to go this way, but here we are. Are you good still? All right, you guys still like me? Okay. Pastor Dave's like, yeah, okay. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Now, I want you to see a biblically appropriate response to an invitation from Jesus. The reason I gave you the great commandment and the great commission is because this passage right here is what I believe to be the great invitation. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Right now, my wife and I are going through like a remodel season for our church, and we are feeling so drawn in by the power of the Holy Spirit to build our church on verse 19. inviting people to actually follow Jesus. And I will make you fishers of men. All right? So you see a biblically appropriate response to an invitation from God through Jesus. Verse 20, immediately. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. You might be thinking, oh, you know, I hear what you're preaching tonight, Pastor Lau, but as soon as we leave, I want to call all of my friends on my favorites list on my iPhone and ensure that it's wisdom that I actually do what God called me to do tonight. How many of you guys know fear often masquerades as wisdom? And when you receive a word from God, you don't need an opinion from man. So what we're getting here is a biblical prescription on how to respond to a divine invitation from Jesus, and you respond immediately. It's not tomorrow. Peter could have said, hey, you know what, Jesus, that's really kind. I'm gonna give you an offering. What's your Venmo? Y'all have Venmo over here? What do you have? What is it? Revolution. Revolut. Praise God. I'm going to hit you with the Revolut for the revelation you just dropped on us, Jesus. Yeah. Good word, preacher. That was great. Like, but that's how we get, right? It's like, that's a good word. I'm going to sow a seed into your ministry. And sometimes we'll use generosity to excuse ourselves of obedience. I can't go, so I'm going to sow. Hey, listen, that's good to give an offering, but before God wants your money, he wants your life. Before you put a dollar in the bucket, or is it dollars here? Euro in the bucket. I don't know nothing about y'all. It's apparent at this point. Before you put a euro in the bucket, you need to put you in the bucket. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just... I'm going to give my whole life as an offering tonight. The seed that I'm going to sow is my soul, is my spirit, is my mind, is my body, is my strength, is my youth, is my ambition, is my goals, is my 2024 resolutions. I'm going to sow all that in the bucket. Why is that? Because he's worthy of it. And if he invites me into something, I'm going to say immediately. You know, the speed of your obedience reveals your maturity. That's what it is. If you want to know how spiritually mature you are, then measure the distance between when God tells you to do something and you actually do it. Because that distance between those two points is what defines your spiritual maturity. Yes, I say yes. Immediately, what happened? Immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. Now, we have a saying in America, we call it our safety net. Y'all have that? So I know it was their nets, like their career, but it absolutely could be used as an illustration, as a safety net. And too many of us, church, we are trying to accept the great invitation from Jesus and drag our safety nets. Well, this is my plan B, Jesus, because if you ask me to do things that I don't want to do, I need to have something to go back to. I don't want to sell everything, Jesus. That wouldn't be wise. Come on, church. Obedience is the most wise thing you can do with your life. Immediately, they dropped their nets and they followed him. You know, Jesus is always on the move, but he's never in a hurry. It's impossible to follow him with your hands full, and it's impossible to follow him from a distance. He moves too quick. He's too agile. He's about his father's business. But unfortunately, what do? With the line of the tribe of Judah, we try to turn them into a domesticated house cat. We take Jesus and we put him on our mantle, and when our friends come over, we say, oh, look at Jesus. He's just a little polite house cat. He's here, yes. Oh, Jesus, yes. Jesus is there. Right? We print out the Beatitudes on a sheet of papyrus. We burn the edges with a lighter. Hang them above our mantle and get all nostalgic about Jesus. You know, getting nostalgic about Jesus is the religious way of ignoring Jesus. Jesus is not a domesticated house cat. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He goes where he wants. He does what he wants. He says what he wants. He speaks when he wants. He creates invitations whenever he wants. And then it's on us to respond in a way that the Bible has taught us to respond, which is like this: immediately. Look at your neighbor and say, immediately. Verse 21, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. Now, get this here, because what we see them leaving is not just their safety nets. In this situation, we see them leaving family. And it's not that I'm telling anybody to leave their family, all right? But what I am telling you is there are times and seasons in your life where Jesus will invite you into things that will look like leaving everything that you hold near and dear in order to be completely obedient to him. And at certain moments, that may look like, hey, you know what? I need to go to another nation. I need to go to another city. I need to go to another university. Because God is so good at dealing a death blow to our idols. You know, an idol, by the way, is anything you have to check with before you say yes to God. And he called them, right? Now look at verse 22. Oh, say it again, church. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Two immediately's as a response to the invitation. All right, let me dive into this, and then we'll pray. All right, you guys still okay? I don't know how long you normally preach here, and I only have one message. It's just really long. Immediately, right? And so what is Jesus telling them to do? Flip the surrender switch on. That's what he's saying. Flip the surrender switch on. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to follow Jesus with the surrender switch on. Because if you attempt to follow Jesus with the surrender switch off, you're not going to be able to follow the Jesus of the Bible. All you're going to be able to do is participate in a show called cultural religion. Because you can come to church with the surrender switch off. You can sit in the pew with the surrender switch off. You can give in the offering with the surrender switch off. Well, I don't really tithe, but I tip. If the worship was good. What? It's a terrible question to leave church and say, how was the worship? It's a great question to leave church and say, how was my worship? Did I wait on the right song before I gave God some glory? So you require that? Thank God Jesus didn't require a soundtrack when he hung up on the cross bleeding for your sin. Dang, okay, I came tonight. My bad. Let me step back in my lane. I'm a guest. My bad. I felt the connection and... There's sometimes, bro, I get this thing where it's like, yeah, I call it an I told you so anointing. And that's because I want to talk back to the devil. I mean, I really don't like Satan. You know what I'm saying? So I just, I'm so serious. I'm weird. And I know it. But look at verse 19 again, because I want you to see what needed to take place in order for them to accept the invitation. They had to flip the surrender switch on. You know, your high watermark in God is not supposed to be the first 6 months after your salvation. But how often is that the case? I got saved, I was on fire, the surrender switch was on, and then 6 months later, my pastor offended me, or my girlfriend broke up with me, or I had a death in the family. Listen, I'm not making light of the issues and the trials and the tribulations that we go through, but whatever it takes for that surrender switch to go off, and then, you know, sit in church with the surrender switch off, it will always lead to not following, but boredom. And I think we have far too many bored Christians in the church today. Jesus did not die on the cross, bleed out of his body so that you could embrace a life of faith that is boring. If we're going to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, in Dublin as it is in heaven. When the kingdom shows up, I can guarantee you this, it will not be boring. It will be extremely fun. Joy is very serious business in heaven. If you don't like laughing in church, you will not like eternity. And the devil doesn't want you having any fun in church because the devil knows the Bible better than many Christians, and he knows that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so that means if he can steal your joy, he can steal your strength. So I purposed in my heart, I said, I'm going to have fun in church. I'm going to cut up a little bit. I know I can't dance. I can't sing, but a joyful noise does not need to be auto-tuned. He didn't even say it was a word. He just said it was a noise. So it may not sound good to you, but you know what? If it's coming out of a joyful heart, I can go, ah, and he'll receive that as worship. Hey, if that's all you got, you just give him that, ah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's all it takes. You just let a noise out, you know? Holy Spirit intercedes with groaning. Yes, it's just a noise. It ain't even got words. You ever been in that place of prayer where you just groaning? You know when you really start praying? When you forget that you are. Ah! Yeah. See, I grew up in this little holiness Pentecostal church, and my mom used to force me to go to these meetings that were held by the ladies' auxiliary, and they were called rockathons. I bet you I ain't never done that in Ireland. A rockathon was where you could sponsor an elderly lady to pray for you. You give them like a dime a minute or something like that. And they would pray for you, and they would sit up all night long in the church in rocking chairs. Rockathon. Ah! I mean, I'm telling you, I used to hear it. I was under the pew like, I'm trying to go to sleep. Aunt Nellie, ah, devil, you get off my nephew. You know, I mean, it's a, anyways, where was I? Where was I at? I know where I'm going. I'm just wondering if you guys are listening. No, it wasn't a burn. It was just a genuine question. Immediately, they flipped that surrender switch on, right? Now, I, as a pastor, one of the things they don't tell you that you have to do in seminary is drink a ton of coffee. Am I right about this, Pastor Liam? Yes. Maybe you don't like coffee. Okay. Ryan, Pastor Ryan, they don't teach us this in ministry school. You have to drink a ton of coffee as a pastor. I'm highly caffeinated. Like, you can obviously tell that, I'm sure. And you know how many coffee appointments I do where I sit down with somebody at Starbucks and they sit across from me and they say, Pastor, man, I love you. I'm just bored. Are you bored? Yeah, I'm bored. What are you bored with? I'm bored with my faith. I'm bored with the Bible. I'm bored with prayer. I'm bored with church. I'm bored with serving. Sounds like you're bored. Yeah, you got it. I'm bored, so, I mean, what should I do? I said, well, bro, you're not bored. You're just disobedient. Because I can tell you right now, if you'll throw that surrender switch on, your life will get real festive real fast. Because God will have you in positions that unless the Holy Spirit shows up and rescues you, you might die. And I don't even mean that figuratively. The Holy Spirit sent me to India a few years ago because I heard there were 1.2 million child prostitutes in the nation of India. And I didn't necessarily have a direct word from heaven like a lightning bolt hit me on the forehead, but I do have a word right here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, go, and you know, two-thirds of God's name is go. So I'm just thinking, if he ain't saying no, he's probably saying yes. You know, it's just green lights in the kingdom. Right? I figure he's a good shepherd. You know, he'll whack me upside the head if I get out of line, right? Rod and the staff, they comfort me. I don't know how comforting it is right here, but it's comforting in here. You see what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to find a way to rescue children from human trafficking. I'm going to turn that surrender switch on. Yes, I say yes, God. And so I reached out to a random stranger that was my friend on Facebook, and I said, do you know where any children are that have been trafficked? He said, in matter of fact, I do. I said, how much are they to rescue? He said, I think maybe like, I don't know, $1,000 or something. I'm like, great, I'm gonna start a campaign. And I was looking for like 250 people to give me $1,000. I didn't get it, but I ended up raising like $25,000, so it's better than nothing. And since I used to be a cocaine dealer, I kind of remembered how I would handle money. And so I went to the bank and I got, you know, post-2003 unmarked bills. I made sure that they were flat, ironed a few of them, stuffed them in my underwear, boarded a flight and went to India with $10,000 to meet a stranger to rescue kids from human trafficking. If he ain't saying no, he's probably saying yes. They said, who told you you could do this? The Lord. Who's the Lord? Jesus. Where do you meet him? The Bible. What gives you this energy? Holy Spirit. Where'd you go to school? So you don't have a degree in rescuing kids? Nope. But I know Jesus said, let the little ones come unto me. And so I think, like, if he is the desire of the nations and he lives in me and he's called me to be a world changer and the greatest world changer that ever walked planet Earth lives on the inside of me, then what is it that I cannot not do? And so my surrender switch is on and I'm just over here. So aim me in the direction. I don't have time to tell the whole story, but in just a few years, my team and I, we rescued over 400 children from human trafficking, child slavery, and prostitution. All because of a surrender switch turned on. And the guy who was trafficking these kids, he threatened me. He said, if you come back to this place, I will have you killed. I will put a hit on your life. The police themselves will come and arrest you, and we will murder you. I said, I've already had drive-by shootings done on my house before I was saved. So, yeah, you got the right one today. Because I'm going to be back tomorrow. Now, did I feel fear? Yes. Did I feel alone? Yes. But was I? No. You may feel alone. That's the facts, not the truth. The truth is greater than the facts. All right, I'm going to wrap this up with this, all right? And we'll pray. He says, follow me. He didn't tell you where he's going to go. He just said, follow me. Remember, Peter was like, bro, hey, real quick, like after you just told me I was going to get martyred, what about this fella? He said, don't worry about him. You follow me. We got to break out of that comparison addiction. We got to break out of that competition trap. Don't worry about him. If I brought you into his promised land, you wouldn't like it. He says, follow me. If somebody wants to play keys, they can play keys. That usually helps, like, calm the room down, and everybody knows I'm finishing. But this is the thing I want you to, this is the thing I want you to get, is that he says, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, this is shocking to me, to be honest. I'm from a city called Music City. That's what we call it, Music City. And Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, is a city set up on a hill, in my opinion, because 90%+ of the world's Christian publication comes through my city. All right? So that's books, songs, right? All the big record labels that put out all the Christian music, the stuff we were watching, like those all come through my city, right? And so people show up in my city all the time. It's a city of dreamers looking for opportunity with a motive. So as a pastor, I've got to do my job to filter out the motives and ensure that I'm empowering pure people. I have 7 people on my worship team that were on The Voice. You may not know what that is. It's like America's Got Talent or... You got The Voice? You ain't got Venmo, but you got The Voice. Somebody revolute me right now because I... So like, you know, our church has grown some over the past couple of years, and man, like, one of the things I'm so tired of hearing is like, y'all are blowing up. I don't care. Who cares? That's a dumb goal. That's a dumb goal. Jesus never cared about blowing up. When Jesus did things that other people wanted to promote him for, he disappeared. But when Jesus did things that other people wanted to crucify him for, he said, here I am. Jesus ran from promotion, and he ran to persecution. Man, we got to get a different value system. So, I'll be at a coffee shop somewhere. Like I said, I'm very caffeinated, drinking coffee, and somebody come up, what's up, Pastor Law? What's up, bro? How you doing, man? Man, I'm new to the city, man. What's up? How you doing? Man, I'm a worship leader. That's dope, bro. I'm happy about that. Man, I think I want to come to your church. Man, that's awesome, man. If God is leading you to plant yourself in our house, man, you come get settled, get in the family, man. We'd love to have you. Y'all need some more worship leaders? Man, we always need more worship leaders. I mean, I'm available next Sunday. Nah, man, it doesn't work like that. Like, if you want to serve, that'd be great. But, man, like, hey, we got a kids ministry opportunity for you. We got a parking lot opportunity for you. We got a greeter opportunity. Nah, I don't do none of that. I'm too anointed for that. I don't. Right? People start, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. People start telling on themselves. Oh, okay. So you're too anointed for anything that you don't get visibly recognized when you do it. I got you. Okay. That's going to be interesting when you start reading through the scripture on the reality of hiddenness and wilderness and things of that sort. But hey, you know what? Keep that TED Talk religion up. It's not going to work out. So when I meet people, I'm always kind of filtering out what their agenda is. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you meet somebody, you're like, what's your motive? You ever meet somebody at school and you're like, do they have an ulterior motive? You ever meet somebody in life and you're like, do they have an agenda? Did they just want to be friends with me for this reason or that reason? Do they really want me? Do they really desire me, or they have an agenda? You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever had that experience before, just say me. I just want to make sure. You know what I love about Jesus? Is he informs us of his agenda from the jump. He doesn't hide an ulterior motive. He doesn't conceal his plans for our life until we've been following for a few years and he's like, gotcha. He just says from day one, I came to find you. You didn't come to find me. I came to find you at a Jesus People conference on a Friday night in Dublin. I came to find you, and I'm going to give you my agenda for your life. Follow me, you'll get to have intimacy with me, and I'm going to make you into something, and that's going to be a fisherman. He reveals his agenda from the jump. Now, here's the thing that fascinates me about this, is that if it is God's supreme desire to transform me into an evangelist, if it is God's supreme desire to turn me into a missionary, if it is God's supreme desire to turn me into a preacher, if it is God's supreme desire to turn me into a fisherman that fishes for souls, why don't we fish more? There must be a breakdown in the process, and it's not him that's backed away from the potter's table. The question I have for you as we're finishing here is like, if we're not really fishing, are we really following? We're presence people in here. I've seen y'all's Instagrams. Y'all get after it in worship. But you know, the longer you sit at the feet of Jesus, the more his heart is imparted into you. And his heart breaks for the lost. His heart breaks for Dublin. His heart breaks for the universities in your nation. His heart breaks for the divide in relationship. His heart breaks for single family homes. His heart breaks for drug addicts. His heart breaks for gangsters. His heart breaks for people with mental health issues. And so as we're in here and we're doing this thing at this conference and we're receiving impartation and we're receiving every encounter that God wants us to have, I want you to remember something from night one. Just like Jesus gave us this sermon from day one, it is unto something, and it's not just our entertainment, but it's actually us being sent out of this place and saying, I'm going to become a fisherman. And I want you to know this, that Jesus takes supreme responsibility to transform you into the person he's called you to become. If that wasn't the case, then he would say, follow me, you make you into a fisherman. It's not your responsibility to transform yourself. The gospel is, if you'll have intimacy with Jesus, he'll transform you into the person he's called you to become. Some of us cannot figure out, why in the world do I feel like I'm missing my purpose? Because we're outside of intimacy. Are you with me? I know I got to be done, but this is so important. I don't know how many of you, when you were a kid, used to take these tests. Like in America, they call them Scantron. Y'all know what that is? My guy from Chicago knows what that is. You know what that is? Okay, let me explain. It's an American thing. They give you a piece of paper. It's kind of like vertical. And you have to use a number two pencil. And you fill in these little bubbles. No one does this in Ireland. Okay. What you have like an ACT or an SAT or... You did the bubble thing. What's it called? The leaving. Man, I don't know how y'all understand me, but I cannot understand y'all. But we're trying, all right? I'm praying for an interpretation of tongues right now in Jesus' name. Brother David, what is it? It's a leaving certificate. You were abbreviating. You were saying cert, right? That's a breath mint in America. A cert is a breath mint. Okay, how many of you guys did a leaving cert? Do you have to have a pencil? You fill it in? A little test? It shoots out these results, right? Is that your what test? We'll talk about it later. Okay, here's my point. Okay, so if Jesus walks into the room tonight and he stands right here where I'm standing, let's just imagine that. Jesus walks in the room right now, all right? And he says to us, follow me. And you throw the surrender switch on and you say, yes. Now the blessing in that is intimacy. It's the most glorious relationship you're ever gonna have for all of eternity. It's your romance that you have with Jesus. It's beautiful, it's amazing. The question I have for you is, how much would your life look differently tomorrow morning if you said yes? And here's the point, is that if Jesus was walking down the aisle with a leaving cert, right, here you go, you're going to leave this conference, here's a little certification for you, get out your number two pencils and fill it out, because imagine that this was Jesus's ambition. Fill this out because I want to make sure you have the right personality to follow me. Because I know a lot of times whenever you hear things like this, like, Jesus is calling me to fish for people. I'm called to be an evangelist. I'm called to preach the gospel. I'm called to evangelize the lost. I'm called to seek the lost. I'm called to pursue people. I'm called to share the gospel with people. I can't do that. I don't have the right personality. That's for the people who sit on the front row. That's for the people who dance during worship. That's for the people who invite other people to come to church. Can you imagine if Jesus had that little leaving cert and he was like, here you go, fill it out. Just want to make sure you have the right personality to follow me because I'm going to turn you into an evangelist and I need to make sure you're an extrovert. Do y'all do Enneagram over here? It's popular in America. No, you don't. Okay, what test do y'all do? Okay, you do, right? Enneagram. Yes, some people are like, I can't be an evangelist because I'm a 9 on the Enneagram and I'm very passive and I'm shy. Y'all do the DISC test over here? No, okay. What test do y'all do? You ever do a personality test? You ever go on Facebook and they're like, what character are you from the hit TV show Friends? You're Chandler, you know? Or like I've seen tests where like, what animal are you? I'm a gopher. You know, it's like these weird personality tests. You know what I'm talking about? Do you really think that Jesus was walking around with a leaving cert in his robe? Here you go, Peter. Here you go, Andrew. Just want to make sure you got the right personality to follow me because I want to make sure that you're an extrovert. I want to make sure you're an excitable person. I want to make sure you're a passionate person. I want to make sure you're willing to talk to strangers. I want to make sure that... No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't consult with your personality before he calls you to follow him. He just gives you a new personality. Some of you guys have disqualified yourself saying, I can't really follow Jesus like that because I don't have that right personality. If any man be in Christ, he is a... That means you have a new personality. That means you have a Jesus personality. That means as a new creation, you're born again. And as a new creation, your natural habitat is glory. And as a new creation, your proclivity is to preach. You are not called to preach. You're caused to preach. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you now. It's taken up residence in you. You're fully possessed. You've been fully baptized by a power that is not of this world. And that has purpose. And it's not just to be entertained, but it's to be completely filled and commissioned and sent and to fish. And I know this was a ticketed event, but I just wonder if every single person took the great invitation of Jesus so seriously that after this event, you got on your phone and you said, I want to invite 5 people to be here tomorrow because, and I don't even know if we can do that, but yeah, but look, there's a space up here. Like, I double dog dare you, every single one of you, to be like, hey, I'm just going to text 5 people, 5 people who ain't here, who I know could be here, who maybe they want to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus because I am fully possessed with God's passion for my city, and I want to see God do something in my lifetime that's unprecedented in my nation, and I am not going to lay my head to rest for all of eternity unless I breathe out everything that God has breathed into me. The enemy will not have the final word. The blood of Jesus will have the final word. And so whatever I got to do to be that matchstick that lights my community on fire with the gospel, I say yes. Will you say that with me tonight, church? Say yes. Yes. Let's stand up. I have no idea how you guys normally end, but I see you got worship team coming. That's beautiful. It's perfect. But we just want to say yes tonight to Jesus. If you don't mind, just for a moment, just close your eyes, lift your heads. Don't bow it. Just lift your head up towards heaven so Jesus can see all of your beautiful faces. And could you just give him a fresh yes? If you need to, you can lift your hands. You can surrender. You can wave that white flag again. Yes. 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 You know, the same state in which you are saved is the same state in which you are called to live, which is surrender. None of us got saved because we figured God out. None of us got saved because we studied God up. All of us got saved because we surrendered. Let's surrender again right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.